Amen. All glory to God. Let's give God an applause. We bless you, Lord. We honor you in this place. We honor you with our lives. We honor you in this body, in our homes. We honor you, oh God. All glory to you. Amen and amen. I just had a terrible thought. I'm used to there being stairs here. So keep the cameras rolling because something incredibly horrible and funny could happen at the same time if I decide to go out into the crowd, because I might forget that. So, well, anniversaries are largely about stories and remembering. We look at pictures, we talk about the past, we dream, all those kinds of things. And we're here today at church, at Riverside Community Church, to celebrate a story, but it's not just any story, it's God's story. The church always needs to remember that. While there's a group of individuals who come with their own stories, the story that is being written and told is God's story. And he has invited the body of Christ, individuals, you and I, almost unbelievable to think about it. He's invited you and I into his story to tell it to the world. And so we're here today to celebrate something that God is doing. So what I'm going to do this morning, very briefly, I'm going to walk you through, and my family has an over-under going on this as to whether I can do this in 10 minutes, but we'll see. We're going to tell Riverside's story in two verses and 10 pictures. And I'm going to walk you through fairly quickly, and we'll get through. I think I have every confidence we're going to make it on time. Two verses. The very first Sunday that this facility opened up was April 28th, 2019. I remember sitting in my office overlooking the intersection of Seaborn and Fremont. And I noted people. I was kind of absently looking out there as we were recovering from all the exhaustion and the work that had gone in just to get this thing open on time. And I noticed people, and the word that came to me, people were leaving the residences across the way, and they were streaming. That's the only way I could define it. They were streaming towards something. I immediately thought, well, I guess Walmart has some sort of clearance thing on. People are all walking to Walmart, but they weren't. They were walking here. And I recognized that part of that was the first Sunday. It's been being built for 18 months. People wanted to have a look. But nonetheless, I was impressed with the sense that people were streaming here. And then I glanced down into my Bible that happened to be on my desk in front of me, and I read this, and I realized God was telling us something. Something prophetic that was happening then but is going to happen in the future, and we are beginning to see it now as evidenced by what we saw on the stage a few moments ago and your presence here today. My eyes fell to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. The most important place on earth, it will be raised above other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. There is a day now and a day coming in which people are going to stream to the church, looking for help, looking for salvation, looking for food, looking for nurture as a place of sanctuary and security. And that is God's plan. All glory to God. That's your first scripture. But what God is doing right now goes well back before the opening of this building. And that's what I want to walk you through right now. Some of you are new here, as we saw a few moments ago. You may not know the story. You may have just seen a building go up and drive by. It's been here 4.5 years now and not really be aware of what happened while these things happened. Some of you have been here for a long time, but a remembrance is good, a refresher to see what God has done. We are here to remember the story of our faithful God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Your second scripture today comes from another little story. As we drove across the Pitt Bridge when Ingrid and our family moved from Maple Ridge back in June of 06. And we moved to Port Coquitlam. And as we moved the last truckload of our earthly possessions into Port Coquitlam, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, the Lord spoke to me. And he gave me a single word that was to define the last years of whatever I do here on earth and has to do with this church. He said the word as we drove over the bridge, perish. P-A-R-I-S-H. There have been a few times, admittedly, when I thought it was P-E-R-I-S-H, that we were going to die along the way, but that's not what he meant. He said perish very clearly. Perish, P-A-R-I-S-H. Now, we're not from a Catholic background, so we don't really use that term very much. And I literally had no clue what he was saying, but I knew he had spoken. I knew that I'd heard the voice of the Lord, and he said perish. We had no clue what that meant. There was no Riverside in existence at that point. There was no inkling that Ingrid and I ever even had of lead pastoring. We were content serving where we were serving, doing what we were doing. It came to mean through the years that the Lord was designing here a parish-style ministry, one that would see itself built in the middle of a community, and the community would intuitively know that when I need help, that's where I go. Just like days of old, there was a parish in the middle of a town. The church was there, and people all knew for whatever the need was, they knew, regardless of what their beliefs were, I know where to go for help. I go to the parish church, and that's what God was telling us that we would be doing in this place. We even didn't even have a name for the place yet. I mean, Mary and Maury Lorino, I don't know if they're here today, were extremely foundational in helping us understand. And one day, I sat in Starbucks, where Freshie is now, used to be a Starbucks there, had my Bible open early in the morning, and I stumbled upon this verse, or the Lord led me to this verse, rather, and I knew that I had the marching orders until I am done on this earth for what this church would be about. Jeremiah 17:8. I remember when I read it, it's so impressed me. I almost jumped up out of my seat in Starbucks and started hollering first thing in the morning because I knew that God had spoken. This is what he said, Jeremiah 17:8. They, you, I, us, Riverside, are like trees that are planted along a riverbank or a riverside with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or by the news, or worried by long months of drought. You, me, us, this church, this body, your leaves, our leaves will always stay green, and they will never stop producing fruit. Amen and amen. That is our destiny. That is what God has told us. That is our marching orders. But what God is doing is pretty incredible, and let me, by way of remembrance, show you a few pictures along the way. Let's go to our first picture, the old building sanctuary. Some of you remember being there. Isn't it interesting that we were praying in this picture? By the way, I want to tell you, good job, church. We had over 40 people praying this last Wednesday night at all church prayer. We want to see that double. We need to pray like we have never prayed before. We need to up the prayer component of every life, of every family, of every church. We need to be a praying church like our origins taught us to be. We need to return, young, old, new Christian, old Christian. We need to pray. The church needs to pray for what is going on in the world and what the church mission is. We were we still are an active, creative, and fun church. Do you remember these days when we would desecrate the sanctuary by bringing a bouncy castle into the middle of the... We did whatever we needed to do to make it happen and to do whatever we needed to do. And that was a wonderful thing. It was a lot of work. Who lugged chairs and moved bouncy castles? And oh my goodness, we had a lot of work ahead of us, but it was a great, great time. Until there were days that it was simply too hot to function in the building, and we would meet outside. Who remembers those days? Oh, my goodness. Ben and Cassidy got married on July 28th, 5 years ago. It was so unbearably hot in that building. As Pastor Derek noted back then in his youth pastor wit, we were standing outside looking at the brick on that building. He said, you know what? It's like a glorified pizza kiln in there. And it's exactly right. It was like a pizza kiln. It was so hot. Aren't you thankful for air conditioning? Oh my goodness. Then came the time to build and to move and to expand into the vision of being a parish church. And that was going to take some new thinking and some new ways of doing things. And this was one of the first times we met on what then was an empty lot. And we began to what? To pray. And so that history, that legacy of continuing to pray has always been with us. And we prayed. How many of you were there or walked around the building at some point in the construction process and prayed and sought God and gave and prayed and gave and served and sought and prayed? Amen. But it wasn't just the adults. There was children who were doing the same thing at the same time. We have a picture now of the old model that we used to have. That little girl in the left-hand side who's praying is Dory, our beloved Dory, who went to Ontario to university this year. This is her in grade 3. And she prophesied back then that this would be a church for everyone, never having known that there would be this new vision statement in which we would be a church that declares boldly that we're a place where everyone belongs. From a child, the prophetic was operational in our church. Then we moved to mid-build. Remember these exciting days when we would drive past and wonder, what is this thing going to look like? What's it going to look like? What's it going to be like to be in there? It seems so far away, but we had so many faithful people. It's great to see Lance and Joyce Davidson in the house today, the work that went into so much of this. Bless you, Lance. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Aaron Moore over here. Thank you, Aaron. I would have lost my mind without you. Thank you. So many, and I know I'll miss a few when I do that. But so many people serve so faithfully to make this happen. The next picture is of another prophetic moment where we began prophesying over what God was going to do in this place. This is in the atrium before that feature wall, before it was covered with the fabric it's covered with now. And we had people come and pray and prophesy. This is B. Lee and Diana, who are writing on that wall what God told them prophetically was going to happen in this place. So you can't see those things anymore, but that doesn't matter because God saw it. God inspired those things, and God is a God of His Word. He keeps His promise to 1,000 generations, and He will do and commission the things that He has said and that He will do in this place. Can I get an amen in the house? Yeah. Then we were getting closer, and the volunteer effort was just astonishing. Then one glorious day, the chairs came. The chairs that you presently sit on, and everybody, young and old, showed up, and we lugged chairs, and man, oh man, that was a lot of work, but it was fun, and just the volunteer effort that was put into the church was just astonishing. So many people worked so, so hard. Then came the Sunday I spoke of right off the very top, where we had our very first service in this place on the 28th of April. Those young kids up there leading the church, oh my goodness, it was only 4 years ago, but it feels like a lot longer. Remarkable, the dream of the parish was coming into focus. In these last 4 years, we have, with COVID and other things, and just figuring out what it costs to operate a building and setting up a rentals department and all the intricacies here, we are just scratching the surface on the power of what God is going to do. All the pieces are in place, and we are going to see incredible and astonishing things together. And then finally, from the excavation of the property, 12 stones were taken from the original excavation. This plaque is on the right side of the atrium entranceway. If you ever have a chance to go over there, we pulled 12 stones a la Joshua and Jericho from the foundation, put them down in a rock garden, and put this inscription on these stones to always remember this and to teach our neighbors who wander by and have a gander. These 12 stones are here to help us remember well the many miracles our faithful God performed in the past and to help us confidently expect Him to fulfill His promises for the future. Amen and amen. All glory to God. Hallelujah. All glory to God. Ingrid, would you come join me up here as we get ready to pray and bless before we go into the last part of our service with our kids and some wonderful baptisms? Again, we are moving together in God's continuing story. This is His story. This is His story, and He's invited us in. A story that He has planned long before we even existed. A story that He has promised and commissioned, and His name is at stake to complete and fulfill as He has declared that this would be a place of worship in which nations of the entire world stream to find relationship and salvation with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And the beautiful part is He's committed to use you and I in the process. He doesn't have a plan B. He's not going to do it. He could, but He's not going to. He's going to use us, and you are here for purpose, right, to fulfill God's purpose in partnership with Him.